Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is the number one New York Times bestselling author, C.J. Box, who is out with his latest Joe Pickett novel. This one is called Shadows Real. It is available everywhere. C.J., this is a case that Joe Pickett probably shouldn't have been involved in, but how did he get himself involved in this one?
Actually, his wife got him involved in this one. Shadows Real starts out with Mary Beth Pickett, Joe's wife, arriving at the library. She's a local library. She's the director of it. Early in the morning so that she can get her work done and get home to cook Thanksgiving dinner because all the girls are coming back finally. And someone has left a package on the front vestibule of the library. And when she opens it, she finds out that it is an authentic 1937 photo album that was compiled by the number 5 Nazi official in Germany in 1937. And she's horrified that it's there, and she's horrified by the pictures that are in it. And she starts to figure out or do an investigation on how it got there, who might have brought it, how to get to Wyoming, and then very shortly finds out that somebody wants this album back badly enough to kill, which threatens her family, and she enlists Joe to try to figure out this mystery of who dropped the album off and who wants it back. So it's kind of a departure, but it's based on a real-life incident of a real... That particular album was actually dropped off at a little local Wyoming library, and the librarian there showed it to me and did some investigation and tied it to all the way back to World War II to the Band of Brothers, the Easy Company that went across Europe, landed in Normandy, and ended up in Hitler's Eagle's Nest at his hideout, and the first two soldiers to enter his Eagle's Nest were actually from Wyoming, and they stole a bunch of memorabilia and brought it back. So the story was too great not to fictionalize and put in the book.
Well, you know, historical fiction is its own genre, and you've made it in a part of a thriller story here. And so how was that experience for you going through this research that Stephen Ambrose did plus your own research to make it part of a thriller?
It was, well, you know, it's something I love. I love the research part of every novel. I always try to include, you know, real issues, real stories, controversies, and so on. And often, my favorite part of writing the book is doing the research. And in this case, I actually was able to help solve the mystery of who probably dropped this book off by reading Band of Brothers and some other World War II books about Easy Company and finding actually the names of the Wyoming soldiers that entered that Eagle's Nest first and came back with all the memorabilia. So I was able to tie it to some real people, although I don't use their names, but it all made sense in the end.
One of the things I always like about your books is the titles you come up with. Shadows Real for this one. This one I looked through in the chapter titles. How much thought goes into each one of these chapter titles? Because they're all very creative in their own right, almost like little novel titles.
Well, yeah, and I usually don't do that. But for some reason that seemed to work with this book would be... kind of like old-fashioned novels where every chapter has a title that kind of foreshadows what it's about. And a lot of the chapter titles and a lot of the quotes are from the Yeats poem, The Second Coming, which is very apocalyptic. And the fact that, you know, he has a line about shadows real and real shadows. And a lot of anarchy is loosed in the world and the blood dim tide. It's such a dramatic poem, and so many lines from it fit this book that I used a lot of them.
Something that always comes through in your novels is the way that people in Wyoming talk to each other. And it seems like there's a lot of distrust among the locals with each other. No, you can never really take anything at face value, and that works particularly well in a thriller. But how do you capture that essence with dealing with law enforcement, especially Joe Pickett? He's everybody's friend, but if he's questioning you, all of a sudden he's not your friend.
That's right. I think it goes back to the fact that there's not very, in real life, there's not very many people in Wyoming. And in the local communities, everybody knows each other, has to see each other every day, you know, goes and fights it out at the town council meeting at night, and then they're eating breakfast together in the morning. So there's a lot of familiarity as well as, you know, agendas that are always kind of open, exposed, and raw. And I try to capture that, in the scenes and in the you know, like, for example, everybody in the little community I live in always kind of tracks where the game warden is at. You know, are they at it? Is he in the mountains on the west or the mountains on the east? And who's going to get arrested? So it's very, very small town, but sometimes includes some really big issues.
Another thing that this book delved into a lot, and it encouraged me to look up some more about it, is this whole idea of falconry, because of one of Joe's friends involved in it. Can you explain the falconry business? Because that's not something that is really prevalent in Iowa.
Sure. All the books since the very beginning have included the sport or art of falconry, done by a guy named Nate Romanowski, who's kind of an outlaw falconer with a special forces background. And in the past, up until recently, he was just kind of living out on his own. But then I learned about falconry bird abatement businesses that exist and are growing throughout the United States, where a company will hire a falconer to bring his birds out and basically chase away bad birds that might nest in heavy equipment or industry or refineries, that kind of thing. So now there are actual falconry businesses to chase bad birds away. And that's what Nate Romanowski in the book is the owner of one. And a bad guy has stolen all of his falcons and threatened his family. And in the book, there's this whole second storyline of Nate hunting the bad guy across the Pacific Northwest.
I'm chatting with C.J. Box about his brand new Joe Pickett novel. This one is called Shadows Real. It is available everywhere. And CJ, I thought of you as I was reading some news feeds a couple of weeks ago, and I know that there's some legislation that involves something that came out of, I think it was your first or one of your first Joe Pickett novels, about a loophole in the law that you found and verified that it existed, and they're still monkeying around with it at the legislative level. Have you been following that story at all? Because there's a certain area of the wilderness where you can commit a murder and get away with it.
Right, I have been following it because, yeah, I didn't invent this concept. It was actually written in a paper by a Michigan State law professor who is a constitutional scholar and who had the theory that there's a 50-mile area in Yellowstone National Park that kind of falls outside of all the laws and the Constitution because it's disputed whether it's federal or state or territorial country, meaning if a crime took place there, a jury would have to be drawn from that area in which no people live. So there's a potential loophole that a major crime could happen there, but you couldn't form a jury, so therefore whoever did it could get away with it. So I wrote a whole book about it called Free Fire a few years ago, and it did spark a lot of interest, and there was some national legislation that went nowhere to close that loophole. But now there's a law going into through the Idaho legislature to try to address that.
As you see that, and they always say truth is stranger than fiction, and that's a perfect example of it. But when you see that, does it kind of make it take a step back to say that, wow, there is really power in what I do beyond just telling a good story? Because it does point out things about life and let us understand things a little bit more.
It does, and that's something I'm careful with. I don't want to be sloppy with it or give anybody any bad ideas. But at the same time, when I wrote about that particular thing, I was in close touch with a Wyoming senator who was the one who drafted the legislation with the thought in mind that if the word got out about this certain area, maybe laws would be passed to close the loophole before something bad happened. So, can do some good things, too.
You've been writing these books a long time now, and decades. And so how has your writing process or even your creative process changed over the course of the books? Because you get older, you get better at it, things happen, technology changes. How does that change how you write these books?
You know, I think the process itself has not changed that much, in that I usually start out with a couple of big concepts or controversies or issues, and then I do the research on those. That sometimes means going to those places, interviewing people, putting on my old reporter hat, and literally just sitting down with people and getting more information. And then I, in effect, try to come up with a storyline that will pull readers through those issues. And then I start. I do a long outline, and I start writing on top of the outline itself till the book is done. So that part hasn't changed. A lot of other aspects of publishing certainly have. I mean, audiobooks now are the fastest growing part of the publishing industry. Certainly ebooks are about half of the industry now, but that all has to do with the distribution, not the writing. So for me, I'm still just me, you know, churning them out.
And I know that you're also involved with Hollywood versions of your stories, and I think you've joked that you provide the basis for the story and collect the checks, but you got to be a little bit more involved in that. How's that experience been for you?
It's different. There's two television shows right now based on my books. One is Big Sky on ABC. That's in its second season. It's based on the Cassie Duell novels. And then Joe Pickett just came out on Charter Spectrum, the Spectrum original channel, in December, and quickly became their number one show, and is now going to move over to Paramount Plus in May. It's 10 episodes, and we're really thrilled with it. We think they did a great job. We loved it. My wife and I watched it 3 times because it was so good. I'm a little more involved with that one because I consult often with the showrunners and the writers as they're going through it, and they're sticking closely to the books. I've been able to visit the set of both shows, but I don't get involved on a day-to-day basis or like in casting or hanging around. You know, it's better to just kind of, you know, like I said, provide the source material and hope they do good things with it, but be available if they need something or want to talk about different narratives, which I am available for that.
Well, this Joe Pickett series is just a phenomenal series, and I know there's another Cassie Duell book coming out later this year, which is also another great series. This one is called Shadows Real. It's the latest Joe Pickett novel by C.J. Box, the number one New York Times bestselling author. It's available everywhere. C.J., just another fantastic thriller for us to enjoy, and I thank you for joining me again to talk about it.
Thank you so much for having me back. I appreciate that.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.